Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hour 2 of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It's the noon hour, and you know what that means. It's lunchtime, ladies and gentlemen. The lunch hour of the Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by our friends at Mulberry Barbecue. Now with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and a 61st and Apples Way right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burnt-end sandwich, brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more. Plus incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue. Located 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Again, just a reminder, we'll be having a monthly remote at Mulberry's South location as well. All right. Is there anything off the text line, or we can dive into what Butler and Raiola and Braden and all these other guys had to say?
Yeah, we can dive in.
All right. So John Butler's most recent press conference, he wants to be aggressive. If you watch the bowl game, if you kind of just go back and watch a little bit of that Penn State team, I think 2013, he was the DC there. He likes to be aggressive. He said, we are going to play as aggressive as the officials will allow us to play. We are an attack-oriented defense. We aren't teaching guys to grab and hold. We are teaching them to contest and challenge. I like that wording. That is great wording. I've said it before, Jake. I firmly believe it's not what you say, it's how you say things. That's what sticks with people. All right, he says the scrimmages have been highly contested so far. He wants to play into our two deep at every position, likes to have a rotation. I mean, our secondary. We got plenty of guys to rotate through in our second level of the defense, the linebackers, Rover, all that stuff. Plenty of guys to rotate through. You have to rotate through on the defensive line. You got to keep those big boys fresh up front. Okay, said he feels good at all levels. Says we will know in about 10 days. Talking about that Cincinnati game. All right, I'm going to pause right there. What are your thoughts on what you've heard so far, Jake?
Yeah, it's interesting, because again, some of these things can sound good, and then once you get to the field, it's not as good. That's kind of the Frost thing I kind of go back to. Is like they were going to be aggressive, they're going to be attack style, and you're like, okay, awesome. And then the first time they have a personal foul penalty that cost them the game, not as cool, but okay, we can live through it. For that defense, but we'll see. I mean, obviously it's good. I'm still it's not just Nebraska, it's all together. And I was talking about this the other day. It's just how good will tackling be? Not that it's been a problem at Nebraska or very problematic. Again, Caleb Johnson run, there's times when it will always pop up, but just the limited amount of tackling that they're allowed to do now, compared to, in your day and before that, it's still kind of boggles my mind because coaches like openly talk about it. Like, yeah, it's just, it's an additional challenge we have. So, would be a little bit of a concern, but that's nationwide, not necessarily Nebraska.
In my day, I'm 41. How old are you trying to make me sound? In my day.
Hey, when you were playing, they still had highlights. The guys getting lit up on punt returns and going across the middle. Yes. I mean, it was still, it was still a lot of hard hitting football.
Dude, I remember watching a highlight, multiple highlight tapes my rookie year, the hardest hits in the NFL, because it was my first year in the NFL. It popped up. It just, I watched it and then more popped up and I was like, man, this is great. Those would all be fines, ejections, all that. I was going to say good stuff, all that stuff that we have to deal with now. So Rhule did address tackling in his most recent press conference, said tackling has improved. If you remember before Rhule got here, Tony White got here, tackling was not good. And year one, that was a huge emphasis. And we were, dare I say, a really good tackling team. Now, what came along with that, there wasn't a whole lot of strip attempts. There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, INTs that particular season. So then last year, they emphasized more getting turnovers, and we had a couple of pick sixes, and the defense scored some touchdowns, but the tackling wasn't quite the same. It's a little bit of walking that line. You can't have everything. Like, you can't be the best pass protector and run blocker in the world. You know, is there one you're going to emphasize more than another based on your scheme? How balanced can you be at trying to be good at as many things as you possibly can, all right, so you don't have gigantic holes in your game, but you do. There are certain things you have to be good at. And if you're a defender, you got to be good at tackling. You also want to force turnovers. So it's kind of walking that line. Rhule said the other day, the tackling is improved and the tackling looks better this year. Now you still want to force turnovers. So if you're just tackling, I would say just tackling, but if you're just going for the tackle, there's an element to that. There's also an element of when the next guy comes in, what does he do? Does he help ensure the tackle? Well, the odds are you're going to go through the roof that you're going to make the actual tackle. Or does the next guy come in and try to strip, which increases the odds of forcing a turnover, slightly increases the odds of a broken tackle as well. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
So I think that's what every coach balances. To your point, you can only work on it so much. At least we didn't have to bring in a tackling consultant. as far as being aggressive, I will always err towards being aggressive. Now, you don't want stupid penalties. You don't want to be hitting guys 5 yards out of bounds and, you know, personal foul penalties. But as a defensive lineman, like, if I had to choose, like, I'm going to be slightly delayed off the ball, but never go off sides. Or I'm going to try to be flying off the ball with the ball when it's snapped, and every once in a while I go off sides. I'm going to choose the latter. I'm going to choose the being aggressive. It's impossible to be with the ball every single time and never go off sides. You know why? Because we're not machines. It's just not going to happen. So I would always err towards being more aggressive. That's just me. And I think that's what Butler is saying. We're going to be as aggressive as we can possibly be, as the rest will allow us to be within the rules of the game. And so that's just kind of his mentality. Again, I go back to the Boston College bowl game. You saw two things. You saw a lot of guys in the backfield, a lot of tackles for loss, a lot of guys penetrating from our defense versus their offense. And you saw, you know, a couple of big plays here and there from Boston College as well. A lot of that is youth and guys gaining experience too. So it's a little bit of a both sides of the coin, if you will. Now, he did say, wants to play too deep at every position, want to rotate. Scrimmages have been highly contested. So when you hear that, because we feel like the offense may be ahead of the defense at this point in time, when you hear that from a defensive coordinator, what are your thoughts?
Well, it is good to hear, because I think from what I've been kind of gaining from campus, that the offense is, like you said, maybe a little bit ahead of the defense. So, it would be one thing to come and say, which Scott Satterfield for Cincinnati basically did come out and say, we're not anywhere ready for game week.
That made me smile, by the way. Yeah. Go ahead.
There's a lot of all the things that you can say to say that they've been contested a little bit, I think makes you feel a little bit better about maybe where this defense is, because, you know, that is, I mean, there would be a way to cover it if the defense was getting dominated and still maybe not completely give away that that's the fact. But to say that they've been contested would I think is, makes you feel like it's a little bit more even than maybe we've thought so far.
Cincinnati's coach Satterfield seemed very frustrated. Like, I don't think he was just throwing that out to try to throw Nebraska off. Like, he seemed genuinely frustrated, kind of like Tony White was frustrated with his defense at FSU a week or two ago, whenever that press conference was released. All right, Coach Terry Braden, the defensive line coach, he's seen a lot of great things from his guys, believes a guy needs one move as far as rushing the quarterback, a counter, and a power. The best move, he believes, for a guy to have is a club rip. Now, here's more. You don't need 1,000 pass rush moves. Moves are overrated. It's about the finish. Yes. Amen. Preach and hallelujah. If you have your main move and a counter move, and that involves some sort of a power move, some sort of a counter, and then you got a club rip, you're set. Because guys who have a million moves never truly get good at one or two, and you stand and you dance. if you've got two or three things you're really good at, you get really good at doing them. You also, because when you're in the middle of a pass rush, it's a feel. I always stared at the guy in front of me beforehand, and I'm like, all right, he's leaning heavy. Snatch him on his face. He's leaning back, knocking backwards. Or I've gone outside a ton. I can try to risk going inside, but I got to keep contained, or the coaches will rip into me. But once the ball snapped, you got to have that great get off. That offensive lineman, you got your pre-snap. You got your pre-snap plan. You're flying off the ball. You're trying to beat him off the ball and get that advantage on him into the backfield. But once you engage, a lot of it is feel. Where are his hands? Where is his weight? When you're leaning on each other, do you have the initial advantage of the power contact, or does he, or are you stalemated? If you're stalemated, that's the toughest thing for a defensive lineman, because now you got to decide what to do. If he's leaning heavy, something Richie Incognito taught me when I was a redshirt freshman going against him in the spring, I was actually knocking him backwards on run plays of all things. And then I fly off the ball, I start to knock him backwards. The next thing I know, my face is in the turf and there's black beads all over. And I'm like, what the heck just happened? And then he did it the next play. And I'm like, what is it? I watched the film. He was feeling my weight. And being so young, I was putting everything I had into trying to not get knocked back. And so he felt that. He just threw me on my face. He went and blocked the linebacker because I was out of the equation. Now the linebacker's in trouble. And I watched that. And I felt that. I watched that tape and I learned from that. And that became one of my favorite things to do. Because I would bowl you to start. I'd usually try to set it up with a bowl. Because my strength, no pun intended, was my strength. And then as soon as you start to lean ahead, I was going to snatch you on your face.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And then he's right about the rip. The swim is a great move. The problem is if you get caught with your hand in the air, they got you. If you get caught in a rip, you can still fight your way out of it. In fact, you can counter with a swim over the top, a swim move. And then he nailed it. I'm going to read it again. Moves are overrated. Not that you shouldn't have any, but 1,000 moves are overrated. It's about the finish. Most guys, if you're a high sack guy, you're a guy that finishes well. If you're a guy that had 1 year where you had 8 sacks and the next year you have 4, the first thing I'm gonna wonder about is, did you finish plays well? Or did you just get sacks when you could beat a guy initially and it was done? Because eventually they're going to do things to chip with the back. They're going to slide the protection. They're going to keep the tight end in. They're going to do things, if you're a high sack guy, to counter you. Well, then it becomes about the finish, because you're not going to beat them initially as much, because they've game planned and adjusted for you. So if you continue to be a high sack guy, it's about how you finish the plays, because you may not beat them initially. And this takes effort. This takes endurance. This takes willing to be exhausted beyond what is, Bob Diaco, reasonably reasonable. Are you willing to do that? Guys who are consistently high sack guys usually have good get off, usually have good moves, but the finish is out of this world. I love everything he said here, because I agree with it. Loves in Nebraska, loves football, and says it's a special place. All right, Jalen George is an energy giver. I've heard this guy's been just busting his butt, working hard. Same with Jameer Khan. The FCS guys, so to speak. Says Williams Wanieri is buying in and he has a high ceiling. It's his job as a coach to get him to that ceiling. We all know he has a high ceiling. Sounds like there's a learning process, and Coach Braddon is in embracing that coaching and learning process with a very talented player. Says Riley Van Poppel is one of the leaders in the room. Not a shocker. Now, he did emphasize how important getting a degree is to him. Elijah Judy, the first member to get a degree in his family. So coach mentioned that his brother was killed at the age of 17, 30 feet from their house. He really emphasizes guys getting their degrees. Says nobody can take away that piece of paper from you and what that represents. Get the degree, because football can be over in a couple of years. So much truth to that. Let me ask you, have you heard, and we don't watch every press conference from every coach across America, but we keep an eye on a lot of things. Have you heard of another coach or coaching staff talk about getting a degree or academics at all recently?
Not too recently, but again, that stuff doesn't, that's not the clips that are usually shared.
I love it. All right. Coach says he has a picture of Elijah Judy with his degree in his office because that's what it's all about. He is so proud of him. It's very special for him to be going, talking about the first game of the year now, going back to Arrowhead. Obviously, he was an assistant D-line coach there for a very long time, part of three Super Bowl championship teams, more Super Bowl teams during his time with Kansas City. Oh, and apparently he's a big Gates guy if you're going to Kansas City when it comes to barbecue. Big Gates guy. I don't know if you caught that.
Good choice. Good choice.
Big Gates. You got any thoughts before we move on to Coach Phil Simpson here?
Yeah, Gates barbecue is fantastic.
That's my big takeaway as well.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you because I could see, obviously, it was got kind of a fire in your eye, a passion for you. How many moves did you have at the beginning of your career compared to the end? And how much was it more, like you were saying, strengthening the moves you did have rather than adding moves to the table?
I mean, you could argue I had none when I got here. The move I had when I got here, I was going to try to beat you off the ball. Very good first step was one of my strengths. And I was just going to try to knock you backwards. That's all I had. You got to keep in mind, I didn't play defense until I was a senior in high school. I was a high school quarterback. So I was just all about trying to beat you off the ball. And if that didn't work, I was going to try to run you over. And that was all I had. That was all I had, dude. And then I discovered the snatch after Richie embarrassed me. By the way, it's 9-on-7 drills. So there's not even a pass play as an option. Like 9-on-7 is all run plays that he did that to me in. So I developed a snatch, and then as much as I just pumped up the club rep, I like the club, I like the swim. I was willing to take the risk and get caught with my arm in the air, and the lineman hit me in my rib cage. So I had the bowl, the snatch, the swim, which was by far the one I used the least, to be honest with you, and the counter inside, which I was always scared to death to use. So I technically had a fourth move. I would use it more in one-on-one pass rush than I would in games because if you lost contain, it was a big deal for obvious reasons. So those are my main moves. And a lot of it with, man, trying to beat you off the ball and then finishing the plays. I mean, if I beat you initially, anybody can get a sack off that. Now, it's not, you can't just beat anybody initially. That's hard to do. But anybody can get a sack once you've won initially. The question is, what happens when you don't win initially? How do you respond? How do you counter? What's your effort? How do you finish? All right, Coach Phil Simpson. Says guys here, got some guys here that can be complete ball players, not just pass rushers. I love that, but I want guys who are pass rushers because we haven't had one consistently for too long. Now, if they can be complete players, that's great too. I love hearing that. Jordan Ochoa, I've mentioned him, I think, a time or two on this show. Young freshman, keep your eye on him. Keep your eye on him. He's made a tremendous amount of progress. He has all the tools to be successful. Dawson McCullough has made a great amount of progress. I mean, you want to talk about another guy that's just through the roof with talent. When I saw him, I mean, he looks like an 8-year NFL vet right now. When you just look at him physically. Keona Davis. Feels he has made a major leap in technique, has been working on his double swipe. So that's where you take your two hands, you're swiping the offensive line's hands off of you. So everyone has made major jumps. Names, Cam Lenhart. I'm excited for Lenhart. Lenhart and Riley Van Poppel. I wonder if they can be this year's Robinson and Huttmacher. All right. Lost my place. Here we go. Elijah Judy and Williams Wanieri are progressing as well. It says Riley has been a great leader in helping guys keep the standards. Starting to hear that a lot now about Riley. Love that. His goal for himself is to reach double-digit sacks. I'm going to read that again. Goal for himself is to reach double-digit sacks. Be very dominant, very physical. Randy Gregory, is he the last double digit sack guy we had?
Did he get to double digits? I thought he had like 9.5.
Can you look that up real quick?
I can look it up, yeah.
Was hyped when he saw the new jerseys. Guys love the alternate jerseys. Just saying, get off my lawn, Bach. Very excited to play in an NFL stadium. All right, Dawson McCullough now. Feels like he is home. Here at Nebraska, says our tight ends are physical, can block, and are great to practice against. I'm excited to see what our tight ends can do. And obviously, I'm going to highlight Heinrich Harburg. Love Luke Lindenmeyer. What's Carter Nelson going to do? Speedy recovery to Mark Wazy. Recovers from the knee again as well. Everyone in the room is held to the responsibility to play like starters. That's been talked about a couple of times. Rule talked about that. Says he wants the twos and threes to be playing at the level of starters by the end of the season. That's the expectation. That's what Rule said. All right. Says Coach Simpson is the perfect coach for him. Couldn't ask for a better coach. He did not put his personal goals out there, but the goal when it comes to the team is to go undefeated. I know people may smirk or laugh at that, but basically, if your goal isn't to win every game, you're basically saying, hey, we're going to lose, and that's a goal, and that's okay. So I get it. Played with multiple jacks on the field, has been working and looking good as far as the scheme, multiple jacks on the field. They have a lot of pass rush ability in that room. I love hearing that. Man, I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see it. Was it Randy?
I kind of have different totals here. One site says he had 9.5. Another said he said it had 10.5. But the Huskers is what we'll go with. The Husker site said he had 10.5. So, yeah.
Okay. What year was that?
2013.
The resources at Nebraska are way different from everywhere else he has been. Says we have everything he could ask for. Says he can go to his position coach with anything. Personal life, etc. Feels like a real family. I felt that way. Hey, people can say whatever they want about Coach Blake. I felt that way about him. The previous coach who lied to me, who almost caused me to transfer, I didn't even like being in the same room with him. You know, after we talked about that on the show a week ago or two, whatever that was, because he was gone the next year. So I had a coach the year I redshirted. I had a coach my redshirt freshman year and then Blake the last 3 years. I was like, man, had my coach the redshirt freshman year, had he stayed? Like, I genuinely did not trust him, especially after. I didn't trust him before, and then when he lied to me, I really didn't trust him. I didn't want to be around him after that because I couldn't trust anything he said. I wonder how that might have affected things for me. Thank God I don't have to. All I can do is wonder, and it wasn't a reality. But when you can go to your coach with more than just football, that means something. All right, Jordan Ochoa says, working with Coach Simpson has been amazing, has taught him a lot, even things outside of football. Feels like using multiple jacks on the field works amazing. Hey, keep your eye out for that. 10 days. All right, gained 12 pounds of muscle over the summer. So we will finish with a reaction to what Dylan had to say most recently. You got any quick thoughts there, Jake, before we go to break? Because we do have a special guest here at 12:30.
Not necessarily. I'm just like you were kind of saying, circle that double jacks on the field. So when we're kind of thinking about one, you know, their pass rushing set, we could see several of those guys out there.
A lot of versatility. That's what I hear. A lot of versatility. And they said they have a lot of guys that can rush the passer. Guys coming from everywhere. Man, it'll be interesting to watch offenses try to solve that Rubik's Cube. Was it Floyd Mayweather said he could solve any Da Vinci code in the ring? Do we got Da Vinci codes we can throw at the other team, and how good are they going to be at solving them? We'll see. When we come back, special guest, Miss Nebraska Teen USA. All right, Caitlin Halverson will be joining us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.